My brothers and sisters, some of you have probably heard me tell the following story before, but I hope that you'll agree that it pretty much reflects one of the more obvious points in today's gospel message. The Los Angeles Times published a story of a commercial airline flight cancellation, which resulted in a long line of travelers trying to get booked on another flight. One man in the line grew increasingly impatient with the slow-moving line. Suddenly, he pushed his way to the front of the front and angrily demanded a first-class ticket on the next available flight. "I'm sorry," said the ticket agent, "but I'll have to first take care of the people who were ahead of you in line." The irate man then pounded his fist on the ticket counter, saying, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Whereupon the ticket agent picked up the public address microphone and said, "Attention, please. There's a gentleman at the ticket counter who does not know who he is. If there is anyone in the airport who can identify him, please come to the counter." Hearing this, the man retreated, and the people waiting in line burst into applause. Now, while the lesson of the humbling of those who exalt themselves and exalting the humble is a very obvious lesson in our parable today, I believe that this is the most masterfully crafted parable that Jesus ever gave, because it speaks to the very core of our ability to even hear the gospel in the first place. Did you catch it? Well, you see, Jesus is here pointing out the true nature of humility, how it begins, how necessary it is, and what we do to ourselves and to one another without it. You see, the word humility is taken from the Latin word humus, which means ground or soil. So humility then arises in us as we recognize the truth about ourselves and begin to live our lives grounded, so to speak, in that very truth that we realize. Now, the basic down-to-earth truth about you and me is this: God is God, and we are not. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves, how does the truth that God is God and we are not have anything to do with Jesus' parable in today's gospel? Well, let's just read a part of that parable again and see what happens. Now, Jesus said, two people went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, the tax collector beat his breast, looking inward, and prayed, O God. Now, the tax collector is obviously having an intimate encounter with God. But to whom is the Pharisee praying? You guessed it. He's praying to himself. And not only that, but he's congratulating himself. And what is he congratulating himself for? That I am not like the rest of humanity. Imagine that. You see, the problem is not so much that we would try to raise ourselves up to God's level. God, after all, isn't very threatened by our advancement. But the real tragedy of self-exaltation is that by it, we prevent ourselves from experiencing our intimate connectedness with God and with each other. Separating ourselves from them and excluding them by our judgments, our evaluations, and by our comparisons. Now, in doing that, we cut ourselves off from the very reason for our existence: communion and relationship. Here's another little story. There's a story from the Middle Ages about a young woman who was expelled from heaven. As she left, she was told that if she would bring back the gift that is most valued by God, she would be welcomed back. She brought back drops of blood from a dying patriot. She brought back some coins that a destitute widow had given to the poor. She brought back a remnant of a Bible that had been used for years by an eminent preacher. She brought back some dust from the shoes of a missionary laboring in a remote wasteland. She brought back many similar things, but was always turned back over and over. One day, she saw a small boy playing by a fountain. A man rode up on horseback and dismounted to take a drink. The man saw the child and suddenly remembered his boyhood innocence. Then, looking in the fountain and seeing the reflection of his hardened face, he realized what he had done with his life. And tears of repentance welled up in his eyes and began to trickle down his cheeks. The young woman took one of these tears back to heaven and was immediately received with great joy and love. You see, intimate relationships, communion, these things can only develop in an environment of truth. And the truth is that only God is all good. Only God is all light. The rest of us, at very best, are mixtures of good and evil, mixtures of darkness and light. And so just the opposite of the Pharisees' proclamation is true. We are like the rest of humanity: greedy, dishonest, adulterous, and yes, even like the tax collector, or the outcast, the excluded ones of our own time, even. It's a kind of corporate poverty that we all have in common, we all share. But Jesus' gospel message is abundantly clear. I came to call sinners, not the righteous. To come to realize this is the beginning of repentance and the beginning of transformation. As Sirach says in our first reading, it is the prayer of the lowly that pierces the clouds and reaches its goal. So, sisters and brothers, you want to experience communion with God and with each other? Then let us stop and take a good, honest look at ourselves, our motives, our actions, our reactions, the way that we treat one another, the way we judge each other, forgive each other. Now, in your lives this week, who do you want to more closely resemble? the Pharisee or the tax collector?